Praise the Lord. I've got a couple of things stirring on my heart tonight, and I trust it'll be good help to you. Before we get started, you know, it's something about Prayer 200. And I heard, I believe it was Pastor Nancy Dufresne was talking about a minister, you know, that said, you find out how many people love the church by who shows up Sunday morning. You find out how many people love the pastor by those people that show up Sunday night when they would have an evening service. You said you find out how many people love Jesus by how many people show up for Wednesday night prayer meeting. Amen. You know, there's a specific people that stand in that prayer when there's a gathering, and it's a very selfless act in a sense. There's sometimes when you pray, you know, there's work involved where it's difficult on your flesh sometimes. So, you know, I commend you for being here tonight and gathering to get the word. Yes, we get the word, but to bring your supply in prayer, because that is, I don't want to say where the real work begins, but that's where that good change comes in, when we can gather corporately together and have an opportunity to prayer. So praise the Lord. Appreciate everyone being here tonight for that. If you could bring up for me John 10:10 in the Amplified. I just want to kick this off. We're going to go some places here tonight, but I just wanted to share this with you. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, or till it overflows. I like how he says, I came that you might have and enjoy life. That should be the t-shirt that every born-again believer should be wearing. In other words, when I look at you, I should see joy. And we got to watch it sometimes as Christians, because everything in this world, especially in this day and age that we live in, tries to steal and rob your joy. Are you happy to be a Christian? Well, are you happy with your life and the way things are going? Well, it seems like a prolonged season of trial. It seems like, you know, it's been an upward climb. It seems like, you know, I'm looking for the victory, but I'm not quite attaining it. It seems like I have a book full of promises, but I keep falling short. It seems like that I want to move forward, but can't seem to for sometimes. And so my joy has kind of left. I sometimes wish that maybe it would be easier to quit. Maybe it would be easier to stay home. Maybe it would be easier to not try to move forward with the things of God. But he said, the thief steals, kills, and destroys. That is only his purpose here on earth. The Father of all lives. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Any other voice that tries to echo in your head is not of God. You're here to have joy and to live your life to the full. Bottom line, that's it. And if you're not, then we're going to renew our mind to the point where we're walking in joy. Because this is it. This is the only opportunity here on earth that we will have under this age of grace before the rapture comes. In other words, a million, trillion, gazillion years from now, we're going to look back. Remember when we were on earth? I wish I had more joy when I was there, because that was a season in a time like this. Even if I live to be 200 years old, it is still just a vapor. It is still just this little blip in all of eternity. So I need to purpose within myself that nothing's going to steal my joy, and that as long as I'm here on earth, joy is going to be my banner and my emblem, because Jesus came that I would have that. And I'm not going to settle for less than what he paid the ultimate price for. Amen? So we're going to have some joy here tonight. Amen. We're going to live victorious. Sometimes it gets a little intense with the preach, but praise God, we're getting some things. Amen? So praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 5. Pastor Michael was here. I love Pastor Michael because, you know, if anyone could, you know, I don't want to say write the book on prayer. He is a man given to prayer. I'm talking, you know, hours. And the fruit is there. The fruit is evident. I mean, you look at the family churches and the fruit that is to his account on those things. And so I appreciate that he went to this verse, and we're not going to we're not going to camp here, but I did want to mention some of these things in James chapter 5, starting with verse 13. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Now, we could preach about that, because if you're going through a trial or tribulation, your number one assignment is to pray. That's it. Don't call 15 people and let them know. Amen. Come into agreement with faith. Yes, I get that. But, you know, some people plaster it all over the social media, you know, the Facebook and everything else, everything they're going through. And, you know, every pat on the back, every, you know, cry on the shoulder, hey, praise God for the sympathy, but you're still going to have to release your faith. You can cry, pout, you know, shout, beg, whine, gripe, yell. You're still going to have to release your faith to get out of that trial. So, you know, let him pray. Let him go before God, because prayer is ultimately talking to your Heavenly Father. Is any merry? Let him sing. Amen. Let there be a song in your mouth. Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if we have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. But I like that it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now, in this context, he's talking about healing, but he is talking about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is taking the word of God and bringing that before the Lord, releasing your faith in this particular context concerning healing, and the Lord will raise him up. So there is what the Bible calls a prayer of faith. We're not going to go deep into this, but I wanted to state this concerning the prayer of faith, because what I'm going to be ministering on tonight is the prayer of committal, or the prayer of casting your cares. And the reason why I bring this verse up is because you cannot adequately be in faith carrying cares, carrying anxieties, carrying worries. You can't rightfully stand in the place to release your faith concerning prayer if you're carrying all this baggage of burden with you, because you come before the Lord with this anxiety, with this worry, with this care for this, with this, you know, whatever you're dealing, this trial, this tribulation, and it's hard to release your faith when you're so preoccupied with the cares. And so I wanted to lay the foundation that we want to make sure that our faith is adequately working when we're praying, and to do that, we have to cast our cares on the Lord. So turn with me over there to 1 Peter chapter 5, and you're familiar with these passages, but let's get fortified in them. I know I've ministered before along these lines, and I love, because one of my go-to things, I love Kenneth E. Hagin. I love Brother Hagin. He has a phenomenal series on casting your cares, and if you've heard that, you can't listen to that just once. You've got to listen to that time and time and time and time and time and time again, because your faith comes by hearing. But I like how it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, let's go back up there to verse 6, because he says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That word humble actually means to humiliate or to bring yourself low. Now, that's a condition of the heart. To be humble doesn't mean, you know, oh, be humiliated. Like, we know what it's like when all of a sudden the foot goes in your mouth in a group setting because you said something and you shouldn't have, kind of a thing. Then you're like humiliated, or you went to, you know, do something, sports or something like that, and you fall flat on your face. That's pretty humiliating. Now, we're not saying to bring some kind of self-affliction on you to lower yourself. It's a condition to humble yourself in your heart. And in reference to verse 7, it says, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Why is that you need to humble yourself? Because you'll try to do it yourself. There's, praise God for wisdom. Praise God, you know, we have jobs where we're active. We have thinking minds. we've obtained wisdom through the year. And the Bible says in all you're getting, get understanding. You know, get wisdom, talking about wisdom, the book of Proverbs. So there's certain things where your wisdom and knowledge brings that experience and you can apply those things. Praise God for wisdom. There'll be wealth and riches attached to wisdom. Praise God. But sometimes it comes to the point where, God, I don't need your word because I'll do it myself. I'll take it upon myself to accomplish this because I don't want to have to release my faith, wait a season, in due season I'll get it, and maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. At least if I put my own application to it and apply myself to it, even if I settle for a little bit less, at least I'll get there. At least I'll get something than putting everything in the bag of God and wondering if maybe it'll happen or maybe it won't. So it says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, saying, I was going to try to do this, but I'm going to take a lower position and cast all my cares on him. Bring verse 7 up in the Amplified, if you will. Look what it says. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. It says to cast all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all. Once and for all. You know, we shouldn't be carrying those cares for day in, day out. There has to come a place in God where you release the weight of those things and all of a sudden he's got them. Amen. And we're gonna talk about that, casting the whole of your cares on him. You know, it's funny because, you know, we have to release the weight of those cares. We'll do everything sometime, you know, because we're proud and we don't humble ourselves. Hey, I'm going to carry this thing to the grave if need be. Why? God will take that and he's saying, cast the care on me because I'll be able to do something with it. You can try to stumble and trip your way, crawl your way through this earth, or you can cast that onto me where I can do something about it. Remember, the Heavenly Father who created you, he knows how everything needs to work and line up in your body concerning health and healing. He knows how to bring promotion and opportunity to you. He knows how to bring, you know, labors across loved ones that aren't saved, to bring them and get them back into the family. He knows how to do these things. He's got a million ways to get something to you if you would just get yourself out of the way, humble yourself, and say, God, I don't know how this is going to look. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to cast the care on you. You got it. I don't. Everything that I saw as a problem is not my problem. That's your problem. You told me to cast my cares on you, so I'm going to cast my cares on you, and this is now your problem. I'd be tempted to worry. I'd be tempted. I'm just rightfully concerned. We're going to talk about some of these things. I'm just rightfully concerned. Yeah, you're rightfully concerned. Are you thinking about it? Amen. If we have it, if we carry our cares, he doesn't. If we've got our cares and concerns and our worries, he doesn't have it. And he can't adequately work on it if we have it. It's kind of like normally, like if I went up to the sound guy, it's like, okay, I got my battery pack. There's something wrong with my battery pack here. So I'd be like, hey, I'll tell my wife, you know, she's got a good mechanic. All right, something's wrong with my battery pack here. So you're going to have to fix this. You're going to have to fix my battery pack. Something's wrong with my battery pack. And she'd be like, well, give me the stinking battery pack. it would come out like that, too. It would come out like that. She'd be like, give me the stinking battery pack. Like, why are you running away from me? And so many people try to do that with their problems. They hold on to their problems instead of release it in your hand. It's like, okay, well, I got this problem. I got, these financials, these bills are picking up. Well, give me your bills. Give me an opportunity to work on it because as long as you're carrying it, my hands are off. And it's the same thing with this microphone. Until I put it in capable hands to fix it, it's not going to get fixed. So, you know, so that's the way. As long as we are holding on to it, He doesn't have it. We need to release or cast our care on him. And we're going to look a couple of these verses because we need to put the pressure on the Word of God. See, whenever you have a concern, you find the Book of Promise. You find the Bible. You find the promise for whatever need you're facing, and you put your pressure on there. When the pressure comes on you, you need to divert it. No, but his Word says, by his stripes I'm healed. The Word says, all grace and earthly favor abounds towards me. In all things I'll be self-sufficient, requiring no aid. You know, it said, great is the Lord, great shall be his peace. You know, I have the mind of Christ. You know, whatever verse you need to spit out or say, you need to divert that pressure of that care back onto that. Because God is responsible for the word that he says. And as long as you divert it back to him, it's not on you. There needs to be that release where you're not, you know, in that turmoil and that handling of your care, your concern. Turn with me to Psalm 55. And we'll take a better look at some of these things because I want to show you what this word says. Psalm 55:22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. If you bring that up in the Amplified, it says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. Casting, you know, another verse says to roll, and we'll look at that verse over. To cast it, meaning to give it over onto the Lord, meaning I'm no longer carrying this care. I'm rolling it over onto the Lord. And there has to be the release of it where peace immediately enters, and we're going to look. Where you can walk in joy, you can walk in peace because you know he has it. And I'm not saying that we don't diligently have to walk some things out. You know, you can't be believing God, oh, well, my God shall supply all my needs. No, you got to work. You know, you got to put your hand to some things. But don't let that anxiety and that worry overtake you. You know, there's been many times in my life where, you know, concerning the plan of God, it's been a continual thing. There's certain things that the Lord's called me to. I'm like, you know, I think naturally, I'm like, there's not a snowball's chance in Hades that this is, you know, like, how's this going to happen? Because I'm so far removed from some of those things. You want me to do what? Or, you know, like, he could put some certain things in you, you know? And so you got to cast those on the Lord. You know, you got to be like, hey, you called me to do this. Or if you find the word of God, you said I was healed. And there has to be the casting. It's like, well, I got pain and sickness in my body. Well, I got, you know, financial issues or concerns. You said that the windows of opportunity or the windows of heaven would be open to me as I'm a faithful tither. So I'm looking for opportunity. I'm not sitting around, you know, I'm applying to jobs. I'm looking for promotion. I'm looking for investment opportunities. I'm doing my part. But this isn't my problem. This is your problem. I'm going to cast this on you. Concerning the health and healing in your body, this is what your word says. If this is not what you meant, you should have never have said it. Because, like, even with my own kids, so this is what happened. So both of my kids are, Mia had a birthday on the 9th. Aaron had a birthday on the 13th. And so, just yesterday. And so we were at Walmart. He wanted a skateboard. And this was like 3 weeks ago, a month ago maybe. And so, man, so they're getting out in the spring, and there's skateboards as far as the eye can see. Go to Walmart. And so he's seeing all these skateboards. I want a skateboard. So we put it off as, you know, good parents to the last week, and we're like, well, we better get him our skateboard, this, that, and the other thing. And we go back, and there's not one to be had. I mean, I don't even think there was even a wheel that fell off and was laying there. I mean, everything, you know, they got pack-ratted out of there or something. But anyway, he was over at my parents, and there was last week, and there was a picture of a skateboard on the fridge because we told him, we said, well, maybe for your birthday we'll get a skateboard. Maybe we'll, oh, man, put lock and key right there. So he was over at my parents, and there was a picture of a skateboard, like a magnet or something was on the refrigerator. He's like, I'm getting a skateboard for my birthday. Like that was a couple of weeks ago. Like, you didn't. I guess we're getting him a skateboard, you know, and we had kind of planned to do that, but I wouldn't tell my son as a good parent, well, we're going to get you a skateboard for your birthday and then not show up with it. That's not a care or concern that he has because he knows us.
Everything is based on your fellowship with a heavenly Father and knowing him that he calls us evil compared to his love. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more the heavenly Father will give good gifts unto those that ask. Matthew 7:11, the verse, whatever. And so that's the way. But so oftentimes we go before God and we're expecting, you know, what our heavenly Father says, but all of a sudden we're carrying the care. You know, so like if my wife said, if I told my wife, I said, okay, on the way home from work, always need chips. I saw Reverend Vanessa at Walmart the other day. Hey, we could buy chips one day, the next day we need chips. We got two little, you know, like this, and they're like that, you know, hammering down on those. Parents know what I mean, you know, the crackers and stuff like that. So if I told her, I'm going to go get chips on the way home from work, she doesn't say, oh my gosh, I wonder if he's going to get chips. Oh my gosh, I sure hope he gets chips. Oh, Lord Jesus, help him to get some chips. Help him to get some chips up here. You know, these kids are little. They need their chips. They need their Doritos. Oh, she doesn't do that. Why? Because she understands that I took responsibility. And if I said it, I'm bound by my word. I'm bound by what I told her as a responsible husband and father to my children. Same thing, the Heavenly Father. Don't tell me something that I can't have. Because if you said it, it says in Jeremiah 1:12 that he hastens to perform his word or to watch over his word. In other words, he said it and he's like constant guard, like, oh, take me at my word. Take me at my word. Take me at my word. And I will not leave you until you get that. I will not leave your side or presence until you get what I said. That's how much you mean to me, and that's how much I am a man of my word. So, Father, you said, by your stripes I am healed. I have pain in my body. This is whatever it is. If there's an issue, hey, I'm going to eat right. I'm going to lose weight if I need to. I'm going to, whatever I need to do on my part, I will do. I'm not going to frustrate your grace. But this is what you said, that by your stripes I'm healed. I'm going to cast this onto you. This is no longer my problem. This is your problem. I have no problems. And I'm not saying that's an easy thing to do. You know, you have to do that. And we're going to get into what those look like. But it's so interesting to me that, you know, never fails, you know, and we all have our trials. We all have different things that we're believing God for. Everyone's is different, you know. It seems like, you know, this person does nothing, gets everything. You know, these people drive the car I want, live in the house I live. You know, when I'm believing God for this, everybody else has eight of them. You know, like, you get it. You get it, some of those things, you know, and you can't throw yourself a pity party about those things. You can't get in that self-condemnation where you should be. Hey, it comes down to you and God and his word, and his word is not a respecter of persons, and so it will work for you. So you take his word and you go before him and say, hey, I'm not going to lose joy over this because this is what you said. And if you don't plan on doing it, don't say it. But if I can find it in the word of God, you're obligated to give this to me. You sealed it through Jesus Christ. So we bring it before you. So we cast our cares over onto him. It's interesting when it says in verse 22 in Psalm 55, it says, cast your burden upon the Lord. Now, in my Bible, which is, what is this? The Zondervan Bible. I got the Parallel Bible. I like the King James and the Amplified. But next to that word burden, interesting to me, it's got the letter D, meaning there's a rendering down at the bottom. So I'm like, cast your burden. I know what a burden is. It's like a, you know, 100-pound weight around your neck. That would be a burden, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm thinking. But in the rendering down at the bottom, that word burden, it says, or gift. What? Record scratch right there. What gift? And so this morning, because I've been studying this the last couple of days, I'm like, gift, cast your gift upon the Lord. What do you mean by gift? Because this is David, the psalmist, saying this. What do you mean by gift? So this morning when I was like waking up, and sometimes before your body gets going, so this was probably like four something this morning. I know that's, I'm an early riser. You know, I'm the one that wakes the chickens up to wake everybody else up and stuff, you know. So anyway, but I woke up and this is what came to me is with this, to cast your gift. You mean like the Israelites when they were given the promised land? 12 spies came out. 10 of them said, we can't take this land. There's giants up in that land. There was an opposition that was staring them in the face, but that was the promise. That was their gift. That was their land flowing with milk and honey. With Noah, 100 years to fulfill the word of God, day in, day out, in drought, speaking to him, never a lick of rain ever on the earth, and he's building an ark. Same thing with David. Promotion, 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 Goliath. There's your promise, giant. There's your gift, opposition. There's your promise, what you're going through. God gave you a word, but also the opposition or the weight or the burden of fulfilling his promise. Cast it on you. How are you going to get there? I don't know. How's this healing going to show up in your body? I don't know. How's your bank account going to increase? I don't know. I don't know. I'm doing what I know to do. Nothing's happening. I'm casting it on you. I see myself with my needs met. I see myself walking in health. I see myself in soundness of mind. I see my family coming to church. I see these things. I don't know how it's going to happen. Not my problem. That is my promise according to the word that you've given to me. How we get there, that's your problem. I'm taking you at face value by what you said. The promise is not a, the gift is not a burden to me. Your promise and your word is not a burden to me. You do the heavy lifting. I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to move forward in line with you. How you work out the details, that's on you. You let me know. But until then, I'm not going to lose a wink of sleep. I'm not going to bite my nails down to the first knuckle. You know what I'm saying? That's your problem. That's not my problem. Casting the whole of your cares on him. Psalm 37. You're familiar with these verses. These are all go-to right here. Psalm 37, we're going to start in verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That word delight means to become pliable. Delight yourself in the Lord. Become pliable, like the potter's clay, where he can mold you, bend you, move you. Don't be so fixed and stationary that all of a sudden if change comes, well, that can't be God. No, that probably is God. You know, you've been praying and believing. Become pliable, movable, so he can form you and fashion you to whatever direction needs to be gone. And it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring that promise to pass. I love in the Amplified, in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, roll in repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean on, rely on, be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. That's where it says, to roll it off on him. You've been carrying that burden. You need to roll it off on him. You're not bound anymore by it. You're not carrying that load. He is now doing it. I'm going to become pliable. I'm just going to take my Heavenly Father at face value for what he says. And how I get there, that's his concern. That's his worry. You know, I remember a story. I always love it, and I believe it's on the Casting Your Cares with Kenneth E. Hagin. He talks about with Rhema. They were doing the Student Development Center, and so they were believing God. The Lord told him that they needed to build a new learning center, and millions of dollars. I mean, you know, even back when they were doing it, still big dollars. And so they were in the construction and believing God for the money coming in at the same time. So he was with another minister, and he was taking him around the campus and showing him, you know, the campus, and came up to this new building that was under construction at that time. And the minister said to him, he's like, oh, he says, you carry a heavy load. He's like, you carry a heavy load. Brother Hagin says, no, I don't. He says, you don't carry a heavy load having to believe God for all this? He's like, no. He says, wouldn't you be embarrassed if all this, you know, the money stopped coming in, you couldn't fit it? He's like, he said, it wouldn't bother me any. He goes, I'd shut it down right now. He says, I didn't want to do it to begin with. But listen to the faith of that man. He's like, I didn't even want to do it. I'd shut it down right now. He called me to do it, so I'm not going to sweat. Your word says this. I'm not going to sweat and worry how you're going to perform your word. We already had this conversation that if you said you're going to do it and give me word and verse on it, and you said you're watching over your word, that's your problem. I'm going to cast or roll this over how this is going to play out. I don't know. I'm just going to trust you and take you at your word. That's what you've called me to do. I'm not going to, you know, sit up at night wondering. I'm not going to bust out the calculator and try to refigure things 20 different times to figure out how we could, where we could. That's your problem. You work out those details. I'm just going to sit here and enjoy life because that's what you've called me to do. Just like a two-year-old to their father or mother or parents. I'm just going to say, hey, this is what I need. This is what I want. You already know what I need. So I'm releasing my faith that that's going to be met, whatever it is. I'm going to roll that weight on you. I'm not going to figure, oh, well, I wonder how God's going to do it. I wonder if he's going to use somebody to give. Oh, I wonder if, you know, my job's going to be over there. I wonder if, oh, is there going to be a connection over here? Oh, man, well, I should probably go and do this. Well, maybe I should make something. Should I make something and go do this, or should I? Chill. Ease. I always say to my, sometimes my kids get worked up. I'm like, and this is more of annoyance as a dad. And, you know, it says not to provoke your children, but I just go, easy now. And it's an annoyance. Like probably my wife's sitting here saying the same thing. I'm like, and I'll do it real loud. They'll be griping, whining, easy now. And they're like, everyone just wants to just deck me. But I do it because it's like, everyone just stops for a second, and it's like, easy now, light and easy, light and easy. No worries, no cares, no concerns. Amen. Turn with me to Philippians 4, and we're going to end here. Philippians chapter 4, and you guys can quote this verse better than I can read it. Amen. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 6 in the Amplified, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. When it says do not, that means if you do, there's a consequence. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Like the Ten Commandments, do not commit adultery, do not. There's a lot of do nots in the Ten Commandments. Reason, if you violate, there's consequence to that. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. So that means it's possible. Well, I'm just rightfully concerned, Pastor, about these things. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And look what verse 7 says. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How do you know if you're rightfully concerned? Because you're thinking about it. Because it says in verse 7, and the God of peace. You know when you've rightfully cast your burden on the Lord, peace. The indicator, are you thinking about it? You haven't rightfully cast your burdens on the Lord. If you're still stressing, wigging, you know, you haven't rolled your cares over on him, no peace, you haven't cast your care. Because the God of peace will put you in that tranquil state. And I like what it says. And it says that peace, which transcends understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Garrison is like an army. It's like a fortified army around your hearts and your minds. When you've been fully submitted humbled yourself to cast your cares and your burdens on the Lord. That peace comes in a garrison. It mounts guard. That no matter what circumstance, no matter what trial, you can be at complete peace and ease. All hell might be crashing down all around you. I'm in peace. Because you've rightfully cast that on him. That's the trust that you want in that relationship you want with your Heavenly Father. And so that's why I say, do not fret. Do not have any anxiety or any worries about anything. We don't have to live this life wondering. We don't have to live this life, you know, hoping and hoping that we can just, you know, make it by or make it through. Hey, grab the promise that you're believing God for. Bring it before him, cast it on him, and then put the pressure right back on the word. Every time the enemy says, well, there's a pain in your body, that's not my problem. By his stripes, I'm healed, and I received my healing according to the word of God. So problems, you're just going to, you know, pain, sickness, disease, you're just going to have to hit the road. You're going to have to take that up with the one who said it. You know, interesting enough, like a couple years, well, I say a couple years, I think it was probably, you know, I work in the gas and oil field. I think it was 09. You know, when you get the word of God, or you get a, well, in this particular case, like the word of God, we were drilling, and it was right when the moratorium came into New York State for high volume hydro fracking. And that's where, you know, you go down, you go through the formation, and there's high volume because a lot of times they're going for shale, yada, yada, yada. I won't go into all the details. But conventional wells, which are straight up and down, just straight down in the ground, are still, you can still drill them to today, even though there's a ban on the high volume hydro fracking. A conventional well is not high volume. So even to this day, you could drill. So we were drilling down in DeWittville right by the lake. And the moratorium just went into effect, I think it was 09. It was either 09 or 2010. And the moratorium came in, and we were, you know, like right by the cheese place down there. So here comes this drilling rig. They put up their big derrick, their big mast. All of a sudden, the people come out from the woodwork. Hey, you're going to kill every fish in the lake. You're going to poison the world. You guys are going to destroy everything. I just went in and got the permit, and I said like this. And I said, I got the word right here that says I can drill a hole in the ground right here. You're going to have to take it up with the one that issued the word in the permit. And it's the same thing when every trial, when every sickness, when every anxiety, worry, care comes upon you. I have the word. This is what the word of God says. You're going to have to take it up with the one that issued the word. I'm acting according to what I was told. I am drilling a well on this permitted ground. I'm doing this at the permission of the one that gave me the word to do it. If you don't like that, you're going to have to take it up with the one that issued the word. Devil, by his stripes, I am healed. You're going to have to take this pain and sickness up with the one who wrote the word. I'm acting in obedience to what he said. This isn't my problem. This is his. He has all the details, devil. You go and talk to him. He'll answer those questions. You need to take the word of God, cast the cares. Hey, I don't have any anxiety. I got the word of God. I'm acting on the word. It's not my problem. It's not my care. Well, it's in your physical body. That doesn't negate the truth of the word of God that all of creation has to recognize. Devil was there in hell when Jesus rose again. Sickness and disease was there. Coronavirus was there. They recognized the authority when he made a show of them, paralyzed them, stripped them of their power. So, devil, you were there. You remember Jesus? Yeah, he's the living word. You're going to have to take this up with him. This isn't my issue here. Don't come and yell and gripe to me. Go right to the man that issued the word. I'm acting out my command through his word concerning the healing of my body, concerning my finances. You got a problem with that, devil? Take it up with him. I'm at peace here. I got no responsibility of what he said upon me other than to be obedient to what he said. Same thing with you, Mr. Devil. This is what he said. I'm walking this out. You got a problem, you take it to him. Simple as that. Amen. Don't carry the worry and the cares and the concerns of it. This life is too short to not enjoy it. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to take a couple minutes in transition here in a moment. But we are going to take up our tithes and offerings at this time. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for an opportunity that we can cast our cares, cast our burdens on you. Father, we thank you for the help of your word. We thank you that, Father, you hasten to perform your word. That, Father, we can take your word and bring it before you. And, Father, we can do that with boldness. Come boldly before the throne of grace. And so, Father, we thank you that whatever cares, concerns, worries we have, we just make those commitments to cast that on you once and for all, to not have any fret, any anxiety, any worry, and we cast it once and for all on you. That, Father, we thank you that you're the faithful, loving God, our Heavenly Father. And we thank you that you'll never cause us to fall, slip, or fail. And Father, we give you the praise for it. As we give good seed into good ground, we know that harvest is imminent. We thank you, Father, for an opportunity to sow. And as we give, we know it's given unto us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into our bosom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. We're going to transition right now, and then we're going to get into prayer. If you need to get a drink, use the restroom. If you have children that need attending to or anything like that, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. We'll transition now.